Good morning. I'd like to start these morning times with a little shared Lectio Divina, that is to say, a kind of out loud Lectio Divina. There are a lot of different ways to do that. Lectio Divina is just a fancy Latin way of saying praying with Scripture. Praying with Scripture is one of the really important things for us. I'm going to take the opportunity to... You left me lots of questions already this morning. It's kind of fun. To just touch on the question that somebody posed to me, giving me a little instruction first, I suppose. Anyway, divine intimacy does not come without a price. We must follow in His holy footsteps. How can we embrace our sufferings on a deeper level with joy and total abandonment, especially when you feel the sufferings of others? And I like to rephrase these things a little bit because I think that we can, I don't know, I suppose different personalities engage these things in different ways, but very fundamentally, holiness is about a relationship with God. And we can draw a lot of insight by making the connection with human relationships. Now, if you said intimacy with your spouse doesn't come without a price, who would want to get married, really? There's truth to that, but we don't really think of it in those terms because intimacy is driven by love, and we make the sacrifice and offer up the sufferings because we are united by love and also conviction. And there are a lot of things that hold that bond together. But ultimately, holiness is about our relationship with God and relationships developed by spending time together. Relationships developed by suffering trials from each other and with each other. Relationships developed by having shared dreams, shared projects, shared efforts. Relationships develop in these kinds of ways. So, I suppose people say, you know, whatever, marriage has a price. But it's, I guess I have the heart of a romantic. So, I'm always being drawn by the dimension of romance and love, which of course requires going through hard times together. But one of the things that's very fundamental to having a deep relationship, the word intimacy, has to do with shared interiority. How do I become intimate with someone? It's by opening up my insides to that person and receiving the insides of that person into my insides. Interiority, opening up my heart, is how we develop intimacy. So we can imagine how we do that in prayer with the Lord by sharing our insides with Him. He wants to hear everything. Sometimes we artificially exclude certain things from our conversations with God, but He wants to hear everything. Our frustrations and our anger with Him, if that's what's coming up in our hearts, that's usually generated by a deeper pain, disappointment, sufferings in those ways. Our joys, our hopes, our desires, our loves, our attractions, our struggles, our everything. Everything that's on the inside of us, He wants us to share with Him. It requires us to be in touch with what's inside of us, which sadly our world is becoming less and less capable of doing, but it's one of the advantages of a silent retreat is that we get more in touch with what's inside of us. It has a way of getting louder when what's going on outside of us gets quieter, even silent. Somebody asked me the question also, if it's okay to text a family member. You know, there's nothing kind of magical about silence or some rules that we have to follow that if you skip one rule, then the whole thing doesn't work. It's fortunately not like cooking. At least my experience with cooking or baking or some other things that, you know, if you accidentally do a cup of salt instead of a cup of sugar, it makes a very different kind of thing. But when we're on a silent retreat, again, the idea is that we're quieting enough of the outside stuff that has a way of distracting us and keeping us superficial so that we can get in touch with the inside stuff. And then we bring that inside stuff out before God. So that's the way that we open our interior to Him. You might object, He already knows everything, but we need to know everything, and we need to know that He knows everything. We need to be in it together. So making it explicit, opening that up for Him, and that can be in a way of conversational prayer that we're speaking to Him as a friend speaks to a friend. It may be in, as we become more comfortable with Him, just going through a memory, feeling the pain, experiencing the disappointment, and just holding it out to Him and knowing that He looks on it with love. It's very simple ways to share our insides with Him. That's our side of the intimacy. And then to know that He takes that inside of Himself. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is marked by the sufferings of His people, by their hopes and dreams, by the fire of passion. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is marked with our insides because He has taken them inside of Himself. But the reverse is also true. Jesus said it to His friends, His apostles at the Last Supper, "I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends, because I have shared everything with you that I have received from my Father." In other words, my Father and I have an intimacy. I am in Him and He is in me. And I have opened up my insides to you, and I share my insides with you. He does that in a variety of ways, but Scripture is an important, a significant, a profound way that God has shared His insides with us. We see the way that God looks at creation, that God looks at our life. We see the way that God acts and lives when He walks among us in our own flesh. We see the way that He loves, the way that He gives Himself, the way that He tenderly reaches out to us and shows mercy. We see so many things about the inside of God when we pray with, when we read sacred Scripture. So in order to take His insides into us, it's important not just to read sacred Scripture and analyze it with our minds, or hear it and let it pass in one ear and out the other, but to really take it inside of us. That's where praying with Scripture is such a valuable practice. And certainly the practice of Lectio Divina, praying with Scripture, is a practice very near and dear to Benedictines. It's a very Benedictine practice. St. Benedict in his rule prescribed 4 to 6 hours a day of Lectio Divina. And when I retire to my contemplative monastery, I'm going to start doing that myself. But I do love to take time, an hour every day for Lectio Divina, at least in a very dedicated way, to take a passage of Scripture and to pray with that so that I can hear the inside of God, so that I can understand the mind and the heart of God, and to take that and let that become my mind and my heart, to take that inside of myself. That's how intimacy forms. And to return to our question asker, if we're going to be serious about developing that intimacy, it takes perseverance, and it goes through times of difficulties and purifications. Sometimes we're resistant to getting inside of ourselves and exposing that to God. Sometimes it's hard for us to put on the mind of Christ. It's so different from the ways that we think, and it's hard to understand, and we have to just sit with it for a while. In Pope Benedict, I can even say Pope Emeritus Benedict because it was published after his retirement, in the full-length book that he is an interview with Peter Zeewolde called His Last Testament, he was asked about experiencing the dark night. And he said, "Well, I've never experienced a protracted dark night, probably because I'm not very holy and not like those, you know, great saints of old," whatever. And he said, "But there are times that I've faced challenges of faith and that I've had a hard time understanding. And I find myself in a darkness that, you know, I know one thing, but I can't reconcile it with, you know, maybe some experience or something that's happening." He said, "But I've always found that if I stay inside of it, if I don't run away from it, if I don't go on the outside, if I don't abandon it, if I stay on the inside, slowly over time the light comes. And I do understand in a new and a deeper way. And that's the challenge for us as we develop intimacy with God in prayer, is to persevere, to stay inside, even when it's dark, even when it's difficult, even when we don't understand, and to just stay inside of that, stay with Him, spend time with Him. And then likewise, in the sufferings and struggles and the difficulties of our lives, to keep them in our relationship with God, and not to be afraid to say to Him, I don't like this. Jesus Himself said it to the Father. I don't want the cup. It's okay for us to say that. May we express honestly what's happening inside of us. And also make the act of faith, but not my will, thy will be done. Make the act of faith of, I'm not going to leave you and abandon you. I want to keep trusting, and it's hard for me. We can be very honest. It's better to be very honest, very vulnerable with the Lord. So it's a path forward to prayer, to holiness, to intimacy, the kind of intimacy that God wants us to have with Him. When we look at Him at first blush, He seems incomprehensible and at a great distance from us. And there's a truth to that. But at the same time, when we stay, we come to discover that He has a face and He has a voice that He's revealed to us in Jesus Christ, that He continues to give to us in the Eucharist, and that He keeps speaking to us in the Scriptures. And that's how our intimacy, our relationship with the Lord develops. It's important to have intense times like a retreat, such as the one that you're on. It's important to extend that into every day, ultimately every moment of our lives, in constant prayer, one of those marks of holiness that Pope Francis identified that we'll talk about a little bit later in terms of Blessed Carl. So I'd like to spend just a few minutes doing a little bit of Lectio Divina to hear you. I try to be vulnerable and honest and expose my inside to you and just kind of pray as I hear the Scripture and reflect on it and allow the Holy Spirit to move me. And hopefully that also finds a home in you and allows you to take in what the Lord is saying. I just picked the scripture for morning prayer. Morning prayer always includes a very short, just a couple of verses. And I went back to the fuller context of it in Hebrews chapter 13. And I'll just add a couple of verses on the front. But morning prayer has Hebrews 13 verses 7 to 9. I'll just start with verse 5, just to give us a couple of verses of Scripture. And especially for those of you who pray morning prayer, it's nice to take some of that out from the liturgical context and meditate on it on its own. Just like it is for the Mass, if the only time you hear the Scripture is at the Mass, that's a start, but it's profoundly inadequate. If we really want to take in the inside of God, we need to spend more time with the Scripture than just what we hear at Mass. What we hear at Mass is an intense moment and very important, but important also to prepare for that, to take it in at a different time when we can spend more time with it. But let's just take a moment in silence, first of all, to place ourselves in God's presence. He is here with us in the Blessed Sacrament. He is here with us, also in our hearts. Let us just take a moment to be aware of Him. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to come to us and guide us through the intercession of Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. I'll just read the whole passage through and then just take little parts of it. From the letter to the Hebrews, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. Hence we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. Love of money can be so, money can be so enticing. It seems that we have more power, more control, more security. It can be so easy to fall into a love of money, a love of possessions, a love of honor, a love of power, a love of the things of this world, a love of things that make us self-sufficient so that we don't need others so much, so that we don't need God so much, so that we don't feel our weakness so much, so that we don't feel our neediness so much. Be content with what you have. Lord, help me to be content with what I have. Help me to be content with my weaknesses. Help me to be content with my lack of time. Help me to be content with people that are difficult for me. Help me to be content with the things in the church and in the world where I feel my weakness, where I feel my poverty, where I feel my neediness. Help me to feel your power and your presence and your love. Help me to be content with what I have, with where I am. My heart is restless with so many projects and plans and things that I want to accomplish. And help me to be content with what I have, content with the next project that you place in front of me, content with the time that you give me. Help me to be content with what I have. You have said, I will never fail you nor forsake you. You have said, Lord, I will never fail you nor forsake you. When I feel my weakness, Lord, when I feel other powers, other people threatening me, when I feel the pain of disappointment, betrayal, misunderstandings, sometimes I feel like you have failed me or forsaken me. I try to lean on my own powers of persuasion. I try to lean on my own assertions and forcefulness. Help me, Lord, to stay poor, trusting, weak, knowing that you have never failed me nor forsaken me. because you work all things to the good, even the things I don't like, even the things that are hard for me. You work all things to the good, not instantly, but eventually. You never fail me. You never forsake me. I can think of so many times in my life when you were there for me, when I didn't see you in the moment, but I saw you. A day later, a week later, a month later, I see you now, years later. You have never failed me nor forsaken me, and I trust that you never will. Thank you, Lord. Hence, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? This beautiful verse from the psalm that I've prayed so many times, from Psalm 118, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? How many times have I glanced over those words, spoken those words, and thought about something else? Lord, I'm so distracted in my prayer. So many times I've prayed the Psalms, and my mind has been a million miles away, planning my day, thinking back on what has happened, and paying no attention to you. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for my lack of attention. Forgive me for my lack of reverence for the liturgy. Forgive me for my wandering mind. But those words are beautiful. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I know the people and the situations that I'm afraid of, Lord. I know the fears that rise up in my heart. I know the ways that I'm paralyzed by those. I know the ways that I seek the path of least resistance, that I avoid suffering and difficulty. I know the ways that I don't trust in you. But you are my helper. And I know that you are my support and my strength. I know that you will not fail or forsake me. I believe in you, Lord. Help my unbelief. I invite you into those situations, into those relationships. I invite your love to cast out my fear. You are sovereign. You are in control. You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. My leaders are those who have spoken the word of God to me. I do remember them. So many faces come before me. Men and women that you have placed in my life, Lord, those who have spoken the word of God to me, those who have helped me to know you and to hear your voice, those who have been with me and shared the scriptures with me, who have witnessed your presence by their lives, those holy men and women who have shined with a light that is beyond the light of this world. Those are my real leaders, my fathers and mothers. Thank you for placing them in my life, Lord. Help me to keep them before my eyes. Help me to stay in relationship with them. And help me to be a leader for others, always to proclaim your word and not my agenda, not to voice only my opinions and to make of myself a master, but to be a humble servant of your word. Help me to imitate the faith of those who have been true heralds of the gospel. The way they live, the way they love, the way they see you, the way they see life, the ways they don't fall into complaining but find paths of hope, charity, who refuse to speak evil of others, but overcome evil with good. Help me to follow their example, Lord, to imitate their faith, to become more like them. Give me the grace that I need to follow after them. Bless them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you, Lord, for your constancy. You are the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. You are the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Your radical, total self-gift and love on the cross is the same as you were before the Father from all eternity, the way that you were on Calvary 2,000 years ago, and the way that you remain in that love you renew in the Eucharist, and the way you stand before us in our own lives. You are the same, Jesus. Your love is the same. Your love is unchanging. Your love is infinite. You are not hot and cold. You are not faithful one day and unfaithful the next. You are not powerful at one moment and weak and helpless the next. You are always the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You are always trustworthy. You are always truth. Help me to have a faith that is unwavering, a faith that I can place in you the same today and forever. And so we give you glory as we pray together. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And if you could stand, and we'll just do the intercessions together for morning prayer. And the response will be, Lord, hear our prayer. Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. Let us praise and thank him as we pray. Christ, you decided to show your merciful love through your holy shepherds. Let your mercy always reach us through them, we pray. Lord, hear our prayer. Through your vicars, you continue to perform the ministry of shepherd of souls. Direct us always through our leaders. We pray. Through your holy ones, the leaders of your people, you served as physician of our bodies and our spirits. Continue to fulfill your ministry of life and holiness in us, we pray. You taught your flock through the prudence and love of your saints. Grant us continual growth in holiness under the direction of our pastors, we pray. And let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. May the priest St. Paul, whose only love was the cross, obtain for us your grace, O Lord, so that urged on more strongly by his example, we may each embrace our own cross with courage. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Amen.